When I pull up to the parking lot, it's time to level up. Dial in, showing out for your team. Listen up, get you some, I stand the fan to give you what you need. Fan fuel, game time, turn up the intensity. Team colors bleeding out, 5-hour energy. For a limited time, get the fan fuel flavor at 5hourenergy.com.
This holiday, BMW has reunited three members of the family at the BMW Road Home Sales Event. The Agile X3, engineered for any adventure. The plug-in hybrid X5, commanding the streets with unmatched presence. And the all-electric i4, charging into the future with impeccable performance. Hurry in to find what powers your journey at the BMW Road Home Sales Event. BMW, the ultimate driving machine. Hurry in for exceptional offers through January 2nd. Visit BMWUSA.com for details.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Time flies by so fast, I can't believe we're already here in segment three of the Pack-A-Day Radio Show, live from the 1250 AM and 105.7 FM, the Fan Studios, powered by the Potawatomie Sportsbook. Again, we've got Mason Crosby with Mitch Nellis coming up next, 9 to 11. Steve Novak's going to be joining at 9:20. Don't miss that. But right now, what you really don't want to miss is our conversation with Ross Uglum. You can find him on Packer Report and, of course, the Pack-A-Day podcast. You can find him on social media at Ross Uglum. Ross, my friend, how are you doing on this beautiful Monday morning?
I'm good. You know, as I texted you earlier today, we had some dad stuff. That's all right. And, no, we're fired up for I've got good friends that are big-time Seahawks fans and are kind of from out there. So it's a big week and a good game to look forward to.
Yeah, I'm excited. The Seahawks winners are 4 in a row. We'll definitely get to that in just a moment. I think it's going to be a fun conversation of how we kind of break down this game this week. But we were just having a conversation, Ross, about Jaden Reed. Handful of games, even more than that, going back to Houston, 2 catches, 10 yards, 2 catches, 55 yards. Then he had a really nice 5 for 113 against Detroit. Last 4, 2 for 23, 3 for 26, 3 for 24, 0 for 0 over the last 4 weeks. Jaden Reed not exactly putting up the numbers that we saw him earlier in the season, not having quite that impact. Hasn't had any statistically like big games on the ground. 1 carry for 23 against Miami. Other than that, he had a combined -5 yards going all the way back to week 6. Against Arizona on the ground. As mentioned, this has not been quite the same Jaden Reed. Is this defense is taking him away? Is this Jaden Reed not performing up to expectations? Is this the Packers not doing a good enough job of getting him involved? Like, how are you seeing this situation with Jaden Reed right now?
Well, it's the same thing. I mean, you know, my role as a staunch Christian Watson, you know, defender, but it's the same thing, right? Because we traded 2 second-round picks for Christian Watson to be a WR1, or you could certainly say, oh, we traded Jaden Reed for Brian Branch. You know, you could have all those conversations, right? And I think Green Bay's, I haven't looked at the latest like DVOA, but I'm pretty sure they're 4th, 5th, 6th in offense. I think they're a top, you know, probably 4, 5, 6 scoring offense. As long as that's the case, I'm just not going to be bothered. And yeah, you'd like to see the production, but like for people not to get mad, for fantasy football managers to stay happy, Green Bay would have to score 5-6 touchdowns every week and produce 500 or 600 yards of offense. And I mean that seriously. Like for everyone to feel like every Packers player is reaching their potential, that would have to be the case. And I know I was involved in fantasy football in 2011 when Green Bay was kind of doing what we're doing, and this offense is not there, certainly, but I'm guessing there are a lot of the same frustrations from people who, well, maybe you had Jordy on your team, maybe you had Jennings, maybe you had Jones or, you know, whomever. But it's like you – not that everything's going perfectly with Jaden Reed, because I don't think it's fair to say that it is. But at the same time, you can't keep numbers healthy for that many guys at the same time. And you can't keep production where it needs to be if you're not going to score 55 a game. which I guess is maybe a little bit of a cop-out answer, but I guess my concern level just isn't that high because, you know, Watson will go 3 weeks where he has four catches, and then he'll have a 150-yard game in Chicago and 114 yards against Detroit. Like, it's just kind of the nature of the beast here, even without Musgrave.
Yeah, I'm definitely in agreement, and that's been kind of my default answer. I do feel like over the period of time that it's been now, I'd like to see maybe a little bit more focus and intentionality and getting Jaden Reed just a little bit more involved. But to your point, even this Detroit game, he goes 0 catches, 0 yards, 0 rushes, 0 yards, and Green Bay put up 31 points against Detroit in Detroit with having only 12 completions in the game, which again, you're just not going to be able to feed everybody with that sort of that sort of number of completions, and they still looked really, really good on offense. So I'm not overly concerned about it at the moment, and I do think teams are taking a little bit more or trying to do a little bit more to take Jaden Reed away, but I'd like to see him get a minimum of 2-3 touches, 4 touches at least maybe every game, but if the offense is working, which it for the most part has been, I'm not going to be really that upset about it, and I do think we get a little bit in our heads with the fantasy football stuff.
100%. You mentioned or sort of backwardly mentioned the other aspect of it, which is they want to run the football. They want to run the bejesus out of the football, and as frustrating as it is for someone, you know, like me from the Rodgers era, and I remember like 2011, you got like Brandon Jackson and James Starks back there and, you know, DeJuan Harris and things of that nature, right? And you're running the ball almost as a changeup when your fastball is the passing game. This Packers running game is the fastball. And you mentioned that you 12 completions against the Lions in a game that you scored 31 points. But how much is there to go around? And that's, I'm not saying it's a problem, but if you're out here, you know, lamenting the overall production of a Jaden Reed or lamenting the overall production of a Christian Watson, I just point you to the raw number of opportunities and just ask, like, are those guys doing what they're asked? Are they blocking in the run game? Are they making plays when the ball is thrown their way? And that I would say, I mean, I think Jaden Reed darn near leads the NFL in drops. Like, that is concerning. As much as generally I don't worry about those, like I've said that in regards to a lot of Packers receivers over the years, they're kind of fluky. They come and go. It's like getting a cold. You know, eventually the drops will usually leave a good receiver. But, I mean, that part of the Jaden Reed experience right now is a little concerning because, you know, 6, 7, 8 drops on the season.
Nine
drops on the season with the limited opportunities that he's getting. And I'm not saying they're shying away from him. They're probably not. But you would like to see that number be better, especially in situations where, hey, we are, you know, we might only throw it 18 times. And if we only throw it 18 times and only 4 go to you, we cannot have one of those be a drop.
Totally agree. Yeah, it's funny that Christian Watson, I know as you staunch Christian Watson defender number one, well, maybe his dad is number one. You might be number two, but it's close. But no, as everyone kind of talks about Christian Watson and his drops, it always is funny to me that Christian has 8 drops in his career and Jaden Reed has 9 this year, but you don't really hear it about Jaden and you hear it all the time for Christian Watson. Christian's had 3 in the last 2 years combined as of right now. So yeah, I always get a little bit of a kick out of that. But that also is kind of brought up, and I know this is kind of a very similar topic, Ross, but this conversation of, well, do the Packers actually need an alpha wide receiver to really make this offense go? Do they need a number one wide receiver? I think I probably already know the answer to this question, but where do you kind of come down on that topic that's resurfacing once again?
Folks, the offense is going.
Yep.
I mean, yeah, I guess you'd like it to be number one, right? Like in a perfect world, but the offense is going. They are a top 5 offense. They're a top 6-7 scoring offense. They're fine. And they're missing the 45th pick in last year's draft in Luke Musgrave. And for chunks, they've been missing Romeo Doubs, right? Like,
and Jordan Love.
Yeah, right. And Jordan Love. Look, if someone, you know, evolves into that, cool, I guess. But I found the Packers more difficult to defend when there are multiple problems on the field. I think they had efficient offenses with Adams. And he truly, to me, like, I love Jordy Nelson. He's one of my favorite Packers players of all time. But even when he was having 14, 15, 1,600-yard seasons or whatever his peak was, you still felt like other guys on the team were if not just as scary, very viable. I definitely don't want the offense structured where it's Davante Adams and a bunch of bums again. Like, I don't want to live that life ever. And I will say, you won't see a lot of, and I've held off because obviously they're 9-4. But as you know, Andy, Mock Draft Monday cometh. Not necessarily cometh anytime soon. You probably won't see a lot of Mock Draft Mondays from me without a top 100 wide receiver. I think it's coming. And I think it's probably not going to be in round one. And it's probably going to be another guy to kind of throw on the fire where it's like, hey, Reed and Wicks and Watson and Dobbs are probably not all getting second contracts. Who's the next guy? And maybe he becomes, you know, a one. Obviously, like, Nelson was a one. He was a second-round pick. Adams was a one. He was a second-round pick. Yeah, exactly. You know, and those guys were second-round picks. So just because it's not a first-round investment doesn't mean they can't be the top guy. But I think, you know, certainly the archetype for Packers offense is 2011, and they did not have a one. Now, you can argue they had, like, three. but yep. That was, is it Cobb? Is it Nelson? Is it Jennings? Is it Finley? Is it Jones? I mean, you just never knew who the guy was going to be. And I think that is scarier than even, you know, Super Saiyan Davante Adams at the peak of all his powers.
Yeah, I do think this is a better way to live, and I'm totally in agreement with that. All right, a couple quick ones on defense, Ross. First of all, should it be Tyron Hopper time? Should we start seeing a little bit of Tyron Hopper with the way that the linebackers are playing right now, or is it, you know, obviously you hope you just get Ezrin Cooper back and he can be the answer there?
I mean, I say this as someone who's pretty publicly tough on that pick, right? I think you have to look, right? Yep. Linebacker is... And people have had some disagreements with this, but to me, linebacker and running back are the quickest transitions in the National Football League for rookies. Pass rushers started to kind of, at least like the top ones, because I remember when, not necessarily growing up, but really getting into like fantasy football and just starting to cover the league, and I think Houston coach D'Amico Ryans was one of them, like off-ball linebackers won Defensive Rookie of the Year every year. And it hasn't been the case recently, but there was a run where it was all the time. And, you know, you've seen Green Bay trust Blake Martinez. You've seen Green Bay trust even Chris Barnes. I mean, it's obviously they gave a ton of – they just let rookie Quay roll. It is a quick transition position. And for you to send a top 100 pick, as much as I protested, but for you to fire a top 100 pick on a linebacker – when for years you just, I would grab this kid in the fifth round and throw him in the starting lineup. Jake Ryan, Blake Martinez, I mean, I could go on. And then to say that this kid that you took 93rd or whatever it was, we're almost to Christmas and he can't see a defensive snap. I guess there was one maybe in, what was the home win? That the Dolphins, did he play some against the Dolphins?
It might have been, yeah.
Yeah, either way, I mean, if it was going really, really well, maybe. And the struggle, too, with Hopper, though, is he obviously not at his peak, but what I felt like he was a two-down linebacker. I don't really want to see Tyron Hopper in space, and I'm currently more concerned about Wilson and McDuffie in space than I am, you know, fitting the run. If I thought you were going to get an upgrade from Hopper, it would be fitting the run. I don't know what they're going to do. I mean, they need to make some player acquisition in the offseason, but right now I don't know what that is. And then, of course, Packers legend Jamin Davis with the sack for the Vikings against Atlanta yesterday. So that was fun to watch. I don't think Jamin Davis would have solved the problem, for the record.
He was not going to, but yes, he did have a sack against the Falcons yesterday, which was, of course he did, right? All right, Ross, we're a little bit up against the clock here, but I'm going to give you the Potawatomi Sportsbook final thought of the day. We got some bump music here, and then we're going to get to you. Just 1 second.
You got to do some smart thinking.
It's time for Andy Herman's final thought of the day.
What are you thinking?
Powered by the Potawatomi Sportsbook.
What the hell were you thinking?
You're listening to the Pack-A-Day Radio Show on 1250 AM and 105.7 FM, The Fan.
All right, we just got a couple seconds here, Ross, but Packers, Seahawks, how are you feeling about this game this upcoming weekend?
It's tough. I mean, I think you feel good. I do believe, talking about the sportsbook there, I think Green Bay is favored in this game, but... Yep. it's hard to not see anything other than the Packers' plan for pride. With that said, this team has a lot of pride. Matt LaFleur is just not built that way. I think they kind of want to win. I think they probably have heard a little bit too much about not beating good teams. And, you know, you look now and that Rams win looks a lot better. And that Texans win is fine. And I'm not buying that they can't beat anybody good. But I think a road environment, one that you're maybe going to have to see again in the playoffs, I think they play really well. And I think that the Seahawks are a little inflated right now. They've won four in a row. Keep in mind, this was a team that was 4-5. I'm not fully buying it from Seattle. And I think you get a Packers win on Sunday night. I think it's close, but I think you get a Packers win.
I'm loving it. Ross, I appreciate you so much. On the way out here, where can we find all of your work? Anything you got coming up this week?
Absolutely. You know, not necessarily daily, but 4 or 5 videos a week over on the Packaday Podcast YouTube channel. A film review every week on PackerReport.com. And just find me on the socials. I'm there. I'm just at my first and last name, pretty much wherever you would like to look for me.
Ross, you're the absolute best. Thanks so much for joining us today. And thanks so much for being flexible, joining us in this third segment here. Of course, you can find him on social media at Ross Uglum. We appreciate him a ton, and find him on Packer Report and the Packaday Podcast as well. That is going to do it for us today. You can find the Packaday Podcast 365 days a year, wherever you get your favorite podcasts. We'll be back tomorrow with Lauren Helmbrecht of CBS Sports in Green Bay. This has been the Packaday Radio Show, live from the 1250 AM and 105.7 FM, The Fan Studios, powered by the Potawatomi Sportsbook. Enjoy the rest of your Monday, everyone.